Blog Talk Radio.
Korea? I don't know if that's the place we want to bomb right now. I think it's Syria, but Barack Obama and Congress, they're trying to work that out with Mr. Vladimir Putin. All right, here we are, another Friday night with nothing to lose. Here we go. Wow! Hot damn, and I got my co-hosts here on. I got Mr. Michael D. Gasinski, and I think Mr. Walter Beck, you guys there. Hello on this Friday, the 13th.
Hola, Senor Fouget.
Hola, Gasinski. Yeah, Mr. Walter Beck, you there, buddy?
Fuck you, Brian.
Fuck you. Fuck you, it's magic. You know, look at my middle finger. All right, guys, hey, yeah, Friday the 13th.
Where's Dr. Quinn?
Dr. Quinn, she always times in a little late. I think she's working on a high school football game. She's a busy gal, and we'll cut her a little slack. We'll let her chime in when she can here. But meanwhile, let's it's Friday the fucking 13th. Here we are, another Friday. Nothing to lose, right? We got our special guest here tonight this guy, Dominic Natty. He has a lot going on. I mean, this guy, film producer, he's been involved in film and all that, and publicist for all kinds of musicians, et cetera, whatever. I'm sure he has a lot of fun, good stuff to share with us. But you know what? At the same time, Before we move forward to that, we got to do the goddamn, we got to do the Pledge of Allegiance. I mean, okay. If Dr. Quinn was here, she would remove her hairpiece. We all know she wears a hairpiece.
She doesn't want to have to remove her hairpiece.
Rumor has it. Yeah, she's tired of removing her hairpiece, and that's okay. That's okay. We'll forgive her this time. But I'll remove my hat, and Gasinski, remove your hat. And you know what, Mr. Walter Beck, I know you are a Civil War reenactor, so go ahead and remove your kepi. Do you wear a kepi?
Actually, I wear a slouch hat.
Oh, a slouch hat, huh? You're too good for the cafe because you... Oh, that's right. You're Southerner, right?
Well, doesn't mean Southerners didn't wear kepis. I wore kepis
when I
was artillery.
It's a slouch hat. Okay, well, just quickly describe the difference between a kepi and a slouch hat, just quickly, before we do the Pledge of Allegiance.
Well, a kepi, you know, it's, excuse me, it was originally a French hat. It's got a front leather brim and a slight sloping forward wool top. A slouch hat would be, you know, it was more like a broad brim hat. It's like an Indiana Jones hat, kind of.
In India, okay.
I figured that would be one reference that everybody would guess.
Right, right. Yeah, the general public would maybe understand it. All right, you know what? Let's all stand up and place our hands upon our hearts. And let's just, you know, let's do a little Pledge of Allegiance. Hopefully we don't get too teary-eyed. Here we go.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Oh, God, yeah. That gets me every time, I tell you.
Every single time.
Especially the applause at the end there. There's just, yeah, there's nothing like that. Right? Oh, wow. Wow. I have to clear my throat here because I'm just a little choked up. But, yeah, here we are once again. Another Friday night. Nothing to lose. And, wow. I mean, our featured guest here tonight, Dominic Natty. I mean, this guy, he has so much going on. He's done so much in the film industry and as far as being a publicist, you know, with celebrities and musicians, et cetera. I mean, this guy, yeah, he has it going on. I'm sure he has some exciting and really cool stuff to share with us. But in the meantime, before bringing him on, I mean, wow, it's Friday the 13th, right? I mean, Jesus Christ, what a perfect night to do a show. I mean, Lord, isn't there like some sort of like Friday the 13th? I mean, are you guys, either one of you, like kind of, I don't know. What do you think about Friday the 13th? I mean, do you get all creeped out about the whole, you know, crap? I'm just like, I don't know. Friday the 13th, I mean, there's a movie series, there's all these, you know, rumors and other stuff. I mean, what does Friday the 13th mean to you? Do you really buy into the whole legend and crap of Friday the 13th? Or, I mean, what's it mean to you, Mr. Beck? What does Friday the 13th mean to you?
Nothing really, although I guess it kind of makes my splatter film obsession a little bit more reasonable.
Splatter film. Oh, but okay. Okay, so you're not one of those types that are like, oh, freaked out about Friday 13.
You know, it's funny. You know, I am such a hard-headed person when it comes to, you know, I guess logic and reality and all that shit.
Mm-hmm.
It drove the last two people I dated absolutely crazy because, you know, both of them were into the, you know, ghost and the supernatural. And to me, it's all bullshit. You know, I don't buy into, you know, the supernatural and conspiracy theories and all that shit. Although, you know, I mean, I guess
okay.
I have my own obsession, you know, but.
So you're not superstitious at all?
Oh, hell no.
And what about you, Mr. Gasinski? What do you think about Friday the 13th?
No superstition here. It's just another fucking day. Like you said, it's an excuse to watch the splatter films, you know?
So you don't have any, like...
I've been getting down on Friday the 13th movies all evening, so...
Oh, okay. Oh, Friday the 13th movies. Okay, why is that?
Well, I bought the new Blu-ray set that just came out today, so I got to go through it, yeah.
The Blu-ray.
Yes.
Oh my God. Okay. All right. Okay. So, oh my gosh, I think we have. I think Dr. Quinn. Dr. Quinn has managed to join us. Dr. Quinn, are you there?
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening, Dr. Quinn.
Wait a minute, gentlemen. Oh shit, I'm on the wrong show.
She's always very polite like that to us. She acknowledges us as gentlemen. When she knows better.
Yeah.
Drunken pants, for Christ's sakes. I don't know how much of a gentleman I really am.
So, Dr. Quinn, we're talking about Friday the 13th, then. You know, any do you have any inhibitions or anything else like that, or regarding, you know?
No, but I suspect that my luck has kind of gone to shit. And I mean that literally, because I'm pretty sure the psycho cat just shit behind the entertainment center.
Oh, your cat shit behind the entertainment center, huh?
I'm pretty sure, but it's way far back, so I'm like, God damn it.
Is it a black cat? Did it cross your path? Did you walk under a ladder on Friday the 13th?
No, this is just the this is the one that I adopted. I don't know if I've talked to you guys about this, but I adopted him in July from my ma's neighbor. And he and Carol are still not getting along. And so I'm afraid that I'm going to have to, like, find him a new – well, I'm going to have to find him a new home. But that doesn't excuse him shitting behind my entertainment center.
Right. Well, you know what? Sometimes I get so inebriated, I shit behind my entertainment center, too.
Well, I'm glad to know I'm not the only person who does that.
that shit, literally, no pun intended, just sometimes happens. But, yeah, hey, Mr. Gasinski, as far as Friday 13th, you say you got this, you bought this big, what, was it a Blu-ray set or something like that?
Yeah, I bought the Blu-ray set that came out today. Yes, I bought the fucker.
Jesus Christ. And how much did that set you back?
Well, it was the deal of the day at Best Buy, so it was $90.
Whoa! $90.
Well, it's all 12 flicks, man, you know? I mean,
yeah.
You break it down, that's reasonable.
Right. So you're that big of a fan of the whole Jason Voorhees?
It's my favorite slasher flick, man. It's,
really?
It's good
really?
Shit. Oh, it's great, baby, you know, it's... You get stupid teenagers who just get the shit cut out of them for an hour and a half. And what more do you want?
What more do you want? Well, as long as there's a lot of boobies. A lot of booby flashage, yeah.
Yes. And a lot of dudes in really short shorts.
Really?
The 80s were an interesting time, yeah.
Oh, the 80s. Oh, the 70s. I mean, just look at the basketball uniforms from the 70s and early 80s. They wore the short.
Look at basketball shoes. No arch support. It was an interesting
time. Arch support. right. But I'm talking about you brought up the short shorts, Mr. Gasinski.
Yes.
The basketball.
Jesus Christ, you know, I'm the... You know, Jesus Christ, I'm the queer one on the air, and Gazinski's the one talking about nuthugger shorts, for Christ's sake.
Oh, yeah, man. I love it. The pockets hang lower than the shorts.
Well, okay, Mr. Beck, what's your impression of the old, the short shorts from the 70s and the 80s, as far as, you know, the nuthuggers go?
There's only one situation I have ever worn nuthugger shorts in.
Uh-huh.
And that's when I'm at Rocky Horror and I play the creation, when I actually play Rocky. I do have a pair of the Gold LeMay hot pants that I'm sure you've all seen. That is the only time those are seen.
Okay.
And
Well, how do you feel about, if you see, like, you know, you're watching, okay, say you just, you're channel surfing and you come across ESPN and you see, you know, some, like, old footage of, like, Larry Bird or Julius Erving in their short shorts from the 70s and early 80s with the nut huggers. Does that do anything for you?
No, don't particularly turn my crank. I just think, you know, I was just under the impression that all basketball players back then were secretly gay.
Good answer. Oh, shit, that's funny.
Of course, you know, all to right. be honest, despite the hypermasculinity of sports, you know, I'm kind of under the impression that most athletes are secretly gay. I mean, you know, there's all the ass slapping.
Football
and,
players.
I mean, oh, football fans are gay as hell.
Football, huh?
Yeah.
Well, what's
yeah,
your impression?
I'm,
okay.
Yeah.
Well, okay, what? Okay, Walter, what's your impression of Tom Brady?
I'm sorry?
He's married to a Tom Brady. Tom Brady, quarterback, New England Patriot.
Yeah,
he's married to a hot like supermodel, but
she's a beard. She's a cover.
All right, kind of like, a Tom Cruise thing, huh? Like Tom Cruise with Katie Holmes?
Although I hope to God Brady's not a Scientologist.
Don Travolta. Yeah.
You know, the only thing crazier than a Scientologist is a rat with syphilis.
Oh, ouch. All right. Well, hey, guys. All right, so tonight our featured guest is Dominic Natty, and he has a lot going on, man. I'm telling you, this guy, he is, he's known as the King of Contacts, and, he's done all kinds of entertainment work in, television, film production and all that, and worked on Talladega Nights, Deal or No Deal, So You Think You Can Dance, Making the Band, and many, and a lot of other stuff. And you know what? This guy, this is the same guy who has sent many, many very talented rappers and musicians our way for our show over the last year or so. And he also has he also does a radio show himself. And all that, or has in the past. This guy has so much going on, and I find it amazing. And I'm sure he has a lot of really exciting and fun stuff to share with us. And I've been so impressed with the young musicians he has sent our way. I really have, and I find it amazing that he can do this and whatever. So let's bring on Mr. Dominic Natty here right now. Okay, guys, here we go. Mr. Dominic Natty. Dominic. You there, Dominic? Hey.
Am I on?
Hey, you're
I
on. Hey, Dominic. Welcome to the show.
Yes. Welcome, Dominic.
Thank you guys for that that random introduction. We did the Pledge of Allegiance, Friday the 13th. And then gay sports. And then it's time. That's what I require before I come on. So I appreciate you following through with that.
Seriously, Dominic. So thank you so much for being on the show tonight. And I got to say, I'm extremely impressed with what you have going on. And I don't know, how do you balance it? How do you, I mean, you're only, 34 years old? Are you really that young?
Yeah, 34. Yeah. Oh, I appreciate you saying young. Yeah,
that is young
to me.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm like over a decade older than you. All right. But wow, man. You're originally from Buffalo.
It's
Buffalo, New York, correct?
Buffalo, New York.
Oh, that is far from where I'm at.
And
where you at? I'm at Corning, New York area.
Oh, yeah, Corning. You have
about 3 hours. I've been up to Buffalo for concerts and stuff, Darien Lake,
Yeah, yep, absolutely, not too far.
Yeah,
so it's interesting to me that, you are this celebrity publicist, right? Dominic Natty. Now, how did that even come about? How did you go from, I mean, I understand. Okay, first of all, let's get a little bit more background on you, Dominic, before you move forward and explain to us how you became, you know, this celebrity publicist. How, I mean, okay, first of all, you are from Buffalo, New York, and you actually got a degree in ministry. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, I didn't finish, but it was more, that was more for, I guess, for my personal life. I didn't ever really think that that would be the full-time career. I don't really, it does, you know, it's more personal. It doesn't really come into play a ton into my work day, but from ministry school to, you know, dealing with troubled celebrities.
See, that's what I find so amazing and intriguing is that how do you make that transition? I mean, how? Okay,
how does one become a publicist?
How do you? What was the question? How do you become a publicist?
How do you go from that transition of being, you know, majoring in ministry and all that, and then becoming a publicist? I know you got your connection somehow in Hollywood at one point, but that's what I find so intriguing, and I think a lot of other people will find it very intriguing. How did you make that transition?
I guess this is my first, you know, I guess the first passion I had, like, you know, I was 21 years old. I became a born again Christian, you know, and then I wanted to kind of go away, and I was like, all right, I'm going to go to ministry school. And I guess it's like, you know, I think a lot of people look at ministry school and Christians in like kind of a cookie cutter way, and probably rightfully so, you know, but I think everybody fits, you know, sometimes people like the, you know, like everything that the Bible and God has to offer and follow that life, but then also they might not fit that mold. And that's always kind of been me. And I have a passion for media, and it's something that, you know, for me it was like, I just always was something that I loved to do in pretty much every form of media as well. And that's, you know, to kind of get to where I am today, I've tried a lot of different avenues in, you know, my first job in media was radio, and then it, you know, kind of got into television, and then, you know, and then film, and then, you know, and then after film was a television again, and then actually with the radio show, and then PR. So it's like, you know, I just kind of, you know, PR is always, publicity has always been something that I don't know if you want me to go into the whole thing now or if you still want to do the background, but, you know, I mean, it's just, everything just kind of led to another, and then I kind of settled in on what I felt was not only what I enjoyed the most, but also what kind of fit, because I have a wife and I have a kid, and, you know, and sometimes the media is a tough job because it's very demanding, and if you're going to be a family person and try to compete with a single, you know, 18-year-old kid out of UCLA that's willing to, like, sleep and eat and breathe on a movie set and you want to go home to your family, you know, he's going to outshine you. So you got to just decide what you're going to do, you know, what you're going to be most committed to, you know.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I got my degree in English, you know, as a writer and all that stuff. But I also went to film school, and I worked in film, the film industry, too, myself. So I know those long hours. And I was younger when I was working in it, you know, and working in the film industry and everything else and for television and everything. So, how did you – I mean, okay, that I find it very intriguing. How did you get into, you know – working in film, what was your first big break getting into film and television or whatnot?
Definitely. I definitely know. It's weird. I was actually thinking of that the other day as far as the biggest jump. My first media job was working at like a religious radio, just like, you know, working the switchboard. Did that for a few months. And then I had a church actually, and I started doing wedding videos, you know, as like a videographer. You know, I think before that actually my father has a church, and I would make videos for that. And I started doing wedding videos, and another church hired me to be, like, their TV producer. So it wasn't really anything that was notable, like, as far as mainstream. And then I moved from Buffalo to Charlotte, North Carolina, and it was 2 weeks before they started filming Talladega Nights, which was filmed in Charlotte. And
right.
I came there and, you know, had something on my resume, and but not really anything to warrant getting a job with the film. But, I found someone, and he told me, you know, you could fax your resume into this number, and the guy that I met there in video production in Charlotte was like, well, everybody's faxing in their resume. You know, you'll never really get on the crew, but you can fax it in anyway, you know, because I didn't really have any credits or anything. So I listened to what he said, and I was like, okay. So I Googled the fax number and found out where the production office was at. And I just walked in there with my resume like I was applying at McDonald's or something. You know, I was just like, hey, you know, like I'm looking for a job. And they were so, they said, you know, all the films they worked on, they've never had someone just walk in and try to apply. And, you know, I didn't think it was going to be that. You know, everyone else is trying to be professional and, you know, send a cover letter and go through their agent or go through their union. And I just kind of walked in off the street and was like, can I talk to someone about getting a job? And they said, what job? I said, any, whatever you got. And, I mean, it just, you know, it happened, and they hired me, and that was, like, my big break was to work on the duration of that film. You know, and I worked, like, right, pretty much my job was to go to the producer or the director's house, producer's house, and you pick him up in the morning and take him to the set. And, you know, because I was with him, like, you know, everyone just kind of let me go wherever I wanted to. And you might even know the director was Judd Apatow, who's
Judd Apatow,
Four-Year-Old Virgin. And so that was my first job, and, you know, it was just
wow,
going
that's
to
a
the
good
house
connection.
And
wow. So you were like,
yeah,
you were,
so it was just.
So you were literally like a production assistant to Judd Apatow for Talladega Nights?
Yeah, that was my job. Yeah, they
Damn.
Gave me a car, and they filled it up with gas. You know, they had a gas truck. I had really all that was all I had to do was you pick him up and drive him to wherever the set was, and we just drove together. And, you know, he's a Jewish guy, you know, and yeah, I mean, he knew I was like a Christian from ministry school, so there were some interesting conversations.
Well, I can imagine,
I mean,
and I'm sure that's where the connection started. I mean, good Lord. I mean, just, you know, just having that one-on-one time while just driving somebody like that, you know, back and forth and being in productions. Believe me, I've worked in the film industry myself, and I know exactly what you're talking about. Been there, done that. And to have that one-on-one time, especially while you're just driving, you know, back and forth and shuttling them, I mean, especially someone like Judd Apatow, I mean, wow. So...
Yeah,
so,
especially
wow.
when you're
things just kind of like...
Yeah, I'll just tell you one more part of it, too, because I told them that I, you know, I did not tell them that I moved to Charlotte 2 weeks ago because I knew they wouldn't give me the job, so I skirted around the question. I think I was like, I think I'm still in my first year here. I'm not sure, you know, I was like, but I know the area. You know, I mean, I just had to get that job. And then, you know, I didn't know anywhere. I used to, like, Judd would sit in the back, and then I would have, like, you know, like something printed out from MapQuest on my lap, and I would try to not have him see. I was like, oh, I know exactly where we're going, and, you know, he's like, man, it just seems like we're going in circles. So I was like, no, this is a windy road, or, you know.
You managed to fudge your way through that with MapQuest, because, yeah, so this was probably back before you had, or we had all this, like...
GPS.
Yeah,
2005 was
GPS technology.
Yeah.
Wow, okay. And you just you bullshitted your way through it. That's great.
Yeah, that's my slogan. Yeah.
That's pretty genius.
That is genius. That is great. Wow. And okay, so things... It was kind of like... So that was like the big springboard for you? I mean, what about that experience?
Yeah, I mean, it was... Yeah, it was, well, I mean, what it is, you know, it's like you sit there, and like I said, I was doing this little small office, you know, this TV, religious TV program in Buffalo, New York that no one really knew, and then I was definitely nervous, you know, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be on a movie set tomorrow with Will Ferrell, and, you know, and it's just like, you know, but I couldn't not do it. But if you're a media person, I mean, this is, you know, I'm sitting there thinking this could be, you know, and I was 20, in my mid-20s, so I was like, this could be exactly what I need. Like, I can't mess this up, you know. So, yeah, it's just
just try. I mean, you can't fake it. I thought you could. I faked a lot of things up to that point, but when you're green, like, people can sniff it out because it's just too...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
You just
yeah.
don't know the answer. Yeah, you're too antsy. You're too excited. You can't fake it. You can't act like, you know, I mean, we would play basketball on Saturdays with the crew and stuff, and, you know, I mean, it was just, it was a lot to kind of take in for someone that, you know, like, loves film and loves media. It's like to sit there and play basketball with the actors, you know, it's like...
Right.
It's just things just kind of lined up. It was, like, the very first time we went, I came with some friends of mine, and we wound up, like, just playing, like, a two-on-two game, and we were shooting for teams. I don't know if you play basketball, but you could usually shoot from the free throw line. And Will Ferrell was in front of me, and he made it, and I was like, oh, God, if I was ever going to make a free throw, like, if I make the free throw, I'm going to play two-on-two basketball with Will Ferrell, you know, and I switched it, and I tried to act like, oh, well, I guess who's on my team? Like, this guy? You know, try to act cool, but they know that you're, you know, you're freaking out, you know?
Yeah, yeah, that's a very unique experience. I mean, not many people get to experience it. And what was Will Ferrell like? I mean, I'm sure everybody wants to know. What's he like in real life? I mean, is he as funny and offbeat as he is in his films, the way he's portrayed in films? I mean, what was he like? In real life,
I would say, like, you know, a lot of times, like, you know, I've been working now, like, with various celebrities and coming in contact with people. I would definitely, one of my things I always say is that, you know, every celebrity is an individual. Some of them,
right.
you know, feel like being a jerk, and some of them feel like, you know, being nice to people. It's like, you know, everyone's different. But Will is a typical actor. There's comedians mm-hmm. that are stand-up comics that kind of go from stand-up comedy into acting, and those guys are usually a lot more outgoing. You
right.
know, a lot of actors are actually really reserved, and the reason they like to act is because you tell them what persona they're supposed to take on.
Mm-hmm.
They take it on, and then they feel comfortable being in character. And then when they're out of character, a lot of actors don't know what to do, you know. And, you know, I mean, Will wasn't really – he was, like, really super nice, you know. I mean, the fans would get, like, kind of crazy, and, like, he was really, really a genuinely nice guy. But he wasn't, you know, necessarily the life of the party. I mean,
really?
Wow, that's, okay. you know, that just wasn't, yeah, not, he wasn't, like, a downer. It just was, you
yeah.
know, I mean, how much attention do you need? Like, we did the rap party. We had, like, a Halloween party. We did a bunch of parties with the cast and crew, you know, and it's like, you know, some people will feel responsible to, like, make it fun, but Will was just, like, you know, I mean, it just that really wasn't him. And like I said, I notice a lot of actors are like that. It's just they take on
yeah.
the character when they're out of
right.
character. They're sometimes kind of introverted, you know.
Yeah, yeah, I've seen that before too. I know exactly what you're talking about. I really do. Man, so okay, so wow, see that? Okay, that's amazing. Okay, so you went from, you know, being a production assistant. And all that, and then how did things kind of evolve from there? I mean, that's, you know, to being,
well,
you know, a
yeah,
public.
They all left. I mean, yeah, everybody left after the film. They all went back to L.A.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my wife is from Virginia. She never really had, you know, like when she met me, I was a chef, you know, so it was like I never really was like demanding that if we got married, we would have to live in Hollywood. You know, we didn't really see that being like a part of the plan, so. Yeah, I never wanted to put that on her because she's a small-town Southern girl, and that's kind of like what she likes, and that's
yeah.
cool. So there was a Christian television station in Charlotte, and I got a TV job with them. But then I kind of got bored again. I felt like I had a credit. You know, Talladega Nights was number one in the country for a few weeks,
mm-hmm.
you know, when it first came out. I mean, most people have seen it, you know, so it's like I didn't want to just have that be like a one-time thing. So I started working in reality TV and traveling a little bit, and that's where a lot of the reality TV credits came. You know, once you got, like, one, like, good credit, like, people are like, okay, you know, at least you kind of understand. So
right.
I think I got worked on Deal or No Deal was the first reality show, like, kind of game show reality. And, you know, and then, like, after that, you start to get to know people that in
right.
that world, and one thing
right.
led to another. And I did about 12 reality shows that I worked on.
Wow,
and then
12 reality shows.
Okay. Role,
I did the same thing, buddy. I worked in, you know, I did some reality TV myself and as a cameraman and all that crap.
Okay.
And yet, I understand you make connections. When you start making connections and all that, it's like, all right, wow. And but then, you know, if you're not really enchanted with the whole, like, traveling around, you know, Hollywood scene and everything, you know, you kind of, like you just mentioned, your wife is more of a Southern gal, right? So, I mean, so what kind of got you out of that whole, like, reality TV thing? I mean, what was that experience like for you? What was your actual, like, interaction as far as doing reality TV shows?
Yeah, I mean, it was different. Like, you know, it was sometimes I'd run, like, for Deal or No Deal, I ran, like, the camera for their casting. I worked on Flip That House, so I was literally in the house, like, dodging, like, the demolition, and, you know, I worked on So You Think You Could Dance, and, like, that was a huge production, and, you know, that part was kind of interesting, because I worked with, like, when they were doing the, you know, the casting part, and they would have to come down. I worked in the music department, and they would have to select the song they wanted to dance to the next day, you know, and I was, like, just kind of in charge. I mean, it was just, all these, like, things were different, like, making the band, you know, it's just, like, everything was kind of usually, like, different or unique, and then I did some camera work in Charlotte. I did some sports, like, with the Charlotte Bobcats, and I just tried everything, and that's typically media attracts people that are really excited to start something and then really suck when it needs to be finished, and that's definitely me. I'm just like, oh, it seems new and fun, and, you know, then, like, when it gets monotonous, I'm just like, fade away.
It gets monotonous. You're right. It does. And then you need to move forward, you know. And, you know, if you didn't feel that need or that desire to move forward, you might be slightly gifted or retarded. But, you know, I get exactly what you're talking about, man. Exactly. I know exactly what you're talking about. And I you know, so, all right, that's cool. All right, so you went through this whole process of, you know, working in Hollywood, working in TV, doing these reality shows, et cetera. And then, boom, the ultimate question is...
PR?
Yeah, public relations and the Natty Celeb. I mean, come on, that's a big thing, man.
The PR was birthed out of laziness. I mean, that's the first explanation.
You got to elaborate on that.
Like,
how is that lazy? Because
I don't get any impression
that you're lazy at all.
Because, well, it's just, you know, and when you're standing there on a movie set or on a TV set, and it's like, Dominic, you know, like with Talladega Nights, like, what am I supposed to say? Like, sometimes the shooting got really long. We did some night scenes. We were there till like 2-3 in the morning, you know. I mean, I can't say, you know, guys, listen, hey, Judd, I'm going to go home. This is, you know, I'm done. Like, you're so, you know, so irrelevant. Like, I can't, you know, I'm done. Like, I wanted to go home. I remember one night it was, like, my birthday, and I was just like, my wife's waiting for me, you know. But it's like, I was like, babe, I'm, you know, I mean, Will Ferrell's here. like, I can't really cut out, like, you know. It's like no one else is, like, quitting. I just don't see how I could quit. Like, you know, it's like, I'm not really important to just be like, yeah, guys, I'm out of here. So it was like you're nobody, and you go home when they tell you can go home. And then television is the same way, especially reality television. It's like, well, we have to catch this now. We have to do this now. You know, like, we have to film this now. We don't know what we're going to miss if we walk away.
Right.
You know, so it's like, I was just like, God, I'm just too lazy for this. Like, you guys are just so dedicated, you know. It's like, I just don't feel that dedication, you know. It's like, I'm hungry and tired. Like, I don't care what happens when we leave, you know. If we miss something, you know. So it's just, and that's the thing. That's the cop that I'm saying. It's like, you're up against people who are literally, you know, live and breathe. And that's probably where the ministry stuff, like, you know, I don't feel like I'm born to be work in television production, you know, but, like, you know, because I obviously feel like, you know, God created me for something different, and that just happens to be what I do. But sometimes you're with people that are just like,
I mean, that's it. That's what they want to do in life, and this is their opportunity, and, you know, they'll die on that movie set if they have to. It's like, nah, that's not me. So I started to make my own production. I work with my friend on a cartoon production, and we started creating this cartoon, and I couldn't really get it anywhere, but I started writing, like, what was my first press release, and I sent it to, like, the news stations. And, you know, he was in Arkansas, and he created this cartoon, and I was supposed to help him get it off the ground. And all he kept seeing was, like, my face on the local news talking about this cartoon that didn't even exist, you know. And he's just like, yeah, that's great that you're, like, you know, getting all this publicity, but, like, I mean, is that, that's not what we're supposed to be doing. But then I just realized, you know, like, I'm better at promoting things and writing these press releases than I am at, you know, actually production. So I was always pretty average with production, but I was always good at selling myself, you know, and that's really, like, once, you know, and that's when I realized, like, this is, it's not necessarily that I'm so great when I'm on these shows, like, there's people that are better, but when I'm talking about myself, like, I make me sound great because I keep dropping all my credits, my names, and, you know, and then I was like, you know, I'm just a professional name dropper. I didn't know there was an option until I discovered PR. I was like, oh, I could do that, you know. That's what I do all the time. So I just,
yeah, what does a PR guy do all day?
we write, I mean, you know, I mean, it really doesn't get, it's like kind of like what you do as, like, when you come home and get on your Facebook and your Twitter and when you write emails and stuff, and you kind of do that, like, that's, like, the job. The job is, like, what you do on the computer for fun, you know, so it's like, or just, you know, socially, but, like, we get paid to do it, you know. It's like, I really could not be any lazier than doing emails, phone calls, and, you know, I mean, and that's like, you know, I'm flying out tomorrow, not to get ahead of him, but it's like, you know, I mean, CBS is flying us in for a TV show. It's like,
oh, really?
I mean, it's work, you know, but it's like,
yeah,
but it's, I mean, you know, my wife has a real job. She works at a bank. Yeah, you know, she, like, I can't come, she can't come home and me say, hey, I've had a tough day. She's like, yeah, okay. Emailing, you know, it's like, you kind of lose that, you know, you lose that. But really what PR does, it's actually, it's important. It's just not physical. I mean, it's, we write press releases, we promote, we have the media contacts. We're always pitching our clients to the media. It's actually, it's really important in order to get exposure, you know. It's just
right,
like, it's not as taxing as standing on the TV and film sets.
Oh, right, right, yeah. I mean, yeah, I know. I have worked many times on film sets and all that, and it was like long 17, 18-hour days. It was grueling.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Grueling at times. And I've worked on reality TV shows myself, too, so I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But, so okay,
yep.
Natty, okay, as far as Natty Celebrity, I mean, you know, Natty Celebs, I mean, you got this going on. I mean, how did you found this? I mean, how did you get this going? And you have, I mean, so many, like, young, talented, I mean, really mega talented,
yeah,
like, musicians and stuff. In the works, I mean, Low, you know, DJ Big Stu, Street Money, Mo, Just Me, Nick Nemesis,
yeah.
Juice Kane. I mean, these guys, they're great. They're phenomenal. They are going to make it big. I mean, how do you find these kids? To me, I mean, I'm an old man. They seem like kids to me, but they're so darn talented.
They are.
And how? I mean, how did you? Even that's, I'm very intrigued to hear how you got that all going and started.
Yeah, I mean, well, our first, you know, the first person I ever did PR for was, you know, was actually Shaquille O'Neal's personal chef, you know, that he, and my friend was putting in a security system for his other client, who is Brevin Knight, who played in the NBA for like 12 years. And I started doing PR for his chef, and then did a good job, but then he introduced me to the basketball player, the NBA player that he worked for, and then they hired me on, you know, and I worked for them for 2 years, and then I was in Charlotte, so I started working with the NASCAR drivers too, you know, like for their celebrity golf events and stuff, you know, outside of the NASCAR world, and then football, and then I realized that, you know, athletes don't really need publicists as much as musicians do. Yeah,
right.
And then because music is, it's a never-ending you know, hunger for, there's just no ending and, you know, finish line for people who want to be, for, you know, famous recording artists. So our first music client was DMX, who we're still working with now. And, you know, I wound up doing a bizarre series of events. Like, I wound up, you know, working with him. And then after that, it's like then I started kind of looking at some of the younger talent, in music. And, you know, some of a lot of those guys, I reached out to them. Some of them, they reached out to me. And, you know, I just, you got to go through a lot of bad music to find some good music, you know. But
right.
We are, you know, and some of them, they weren't, you know, we didn't just put them on your show immediately. We had to kind of get the branding and the everything down to make a pitch, you know. And that's a lot of things with PR is, like, some people have talent, but it's, you know, you got to pump it up. Like, every press release I've ever sent you has been me laying out all the, you know, the biggest things to talk about, all the, you know, like the main, like the media stuff. And sometimes
right.
These people have that, but they'll just put nothing on their Twitter, you know, like, it's
uh-huh.
like, you know, it's like you gotta use those stepping stones to get from one to the other. You know, the only reason that people even hire our firm or look at our firm is because when they Google it, you know, we got to be very open about all the accomplishments that we have.
Right.
You know, it's like, it's just not one of those things you can be modest about. That's just not how entertainment is, you know. So.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Credits are important, you know. And sometimes I'll work with managers and they're saying, you know, oh, it's not about who gets the credit. And I'll just speak up and say, oh, I want the credit. If I deserve it, I want to make sure people know it. Because that's how I make money. You know, it's like, I need people to know what we've accomplished, you know, so that they know I can accomplish it for them, you know.
Right.
So it's just,
absolutely.
It's one of those things, you know, that's like you got to be open about what you're capable of.
All right. So I'm intrigued. I know nothing about, you know, that aspect of what you're talking about as far as being like a publicist or whatnot. I mean, I've done, you know, I publicize poets and musicians or guests that I have on the show, but at the same time, not in the same avenue that you do. I mean, do they approach you? Did you find them, or did they find you initially? A lot of these, like, young artists who are, like, up and coming, like, you know, Nick
yeah.
Thomas and Matt Chris and Street Money. I mean, what?
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of those, a lot of the ones you mentioned, like, we've reached out to them. We, you know, and I'll tell people this too, like, a lot, if people come to me with mediocre music and a big budget that their parents gave them, I'll probably take them on as a client, you know, because they have the money in place and, you know, I mean, I can help them get the music where it needs to be, but that's not really what I prefer. I prefer to work with people, like, who have the music where it needs to be, you know, and have their talent and have put that work in, and they just need exposure. So I, you know, I like people coming to us. That's always, like, makes it easier. But I also don't mind saying, hey, you know, this is who we work with. You know, we work with some big names in hip-hop, and we'd like to work with you. And sometimes, you know, it's like a lot of times people will, even if they don't have the budget in place, you know, they might feel good that you're at least reaching out to them. You know, it's like, yeah, I don't have the money in place to do this right now or whatever, but the fact that you would consider working with me and you work with, you know, some of the legends of hip-hop or whatever, it's like, it, you know, that's, it's still a nice gesture, you know, but it's like, well, and I tell them the music's good and I liked it and I wanted to know if you had a publicist, you know. And some the people that I've sent to you said no and they're actually looking and we start working together.
Right. All right, so you also, I mean, okay, you have, you did, or are, do you currently have a radio show? I mean, I know you had one going there in Virginia, and I find that very intriguing as, you know, as well. I mean.
Yeah, that was something I wasn't expecting. Yeah, I mean, it was, I moved to Virginia. My wife, we were living in Northern California, and, my wife
uh-huh.
didn't like it, you know, so I said, okay, so we moved back to her hometown in Virginia, and my brother-in-law was the drummer for Good Charlotte, the alternative.
Really?
And,
oh, wow.
Yeah. So he was, he's a musician, and he knew a lot about music. And I actually, I don't know anything about rock music, which is obviously a much bigger genre than rap, So, and he's just understand, he has an ear for it. And he listens to the radio all the time. And he had actually, the radio station locally had him on there and had interviewed him and talked about Good Charlotte and his drumming career and everything. And, and then I think his wife, which is my sister-in-law, was like, you should talk to that radio station and you guys should do a show, because he has music expertise and, I had production expertise. He was like, and his name is Nate. She was like, oh, you can call it the Dom and Nate Radio Show. And I was like, okay, so we had the name. And that was about all we had, And we met with, the station manager, and we pitched an idea of what we were going to do, and we told him the name. And somehow the name fitting that well seemed to, mesmerize him, and to realize that we don't actually have any experience or any content, but the name would be cool. So that was pretty much all we had. And, but I told him, I was like, I'm a public, I have a lot of contacts. We could probably get some, it's a small town in Virginia, just near Roanoke. And I was like, I could probably get some celebrities on the show just because I have the contacts and, there's people probably coming to anywhere in Virginia. And, people would travel to D.C. or whatever, or Charlotte, to go to their shows and they could promote it on ours. And it worked out. We had the show for about 4 months, and we had Ted Nugent on the show. We had Bret Michaels on the show, Bill Cosby, Naughty by Nature. We had some, we had Aubrey O'Day from Danity Kane. I think we had some good people, some country singers on there too. And, the people in the smaller town liked to have the bigger name guests, but they didn't really like my humor. I'm being really reserved tonight.
You're being reserved.
Wait a second.
Yeah. Dominic, do you realize what show
informative.
You're on? You're on nothing to lose. We have featured many of your musicians here who have very, very explicit lyrics.
No need to be
reserved here tonight, unless, of course, your mom or dad is listening and you might get in trouble.
No. I'm being informative tonight. I'm just
informative,
Dominic. But if I, let me change. I'll say that word. But if I was in your shoes, being the host, I would probably, now I was on FM radio. We were on FM radio, so it wasn't, we couldn't do the stuff, that you guys can do online. So,
it's much
so it
different.
Was,
oh, absolutely, I find that very interesting, too. So what was it like? So you had this radio show going on. How censored did you have to be? How different was it from this online radio stuff?
Very, 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 very.
Yeah,
different.
You had the FFC.
Yeah, that's the thing is that. You got fines to think about. You got other people's jobs. You have the whole station.
Right.
Yeah, you got if you slip up, your slip up is not just hey, try to work on it. It's if somebody was listening, that could cost us the whole station. It could be a fine that, so it's a lot of pressure, and it causes a lot of, I'm a pretty laid back person, so I viewed it as a lot of over paranoia from the upper bosses and stuff. But it's, it is what it is, and that's how it is. And also, it's not, I'm from New York State, so it's if we were in Corning or if we were in Buffalo, people are really sarcastic there. They're not so uptight. That's not where we're at. We're in the South, and not everybody liked the humor. And I had a lot of racial comedy.
Right.
And not just all races, just because I'm from a diverse place. And I think it's funny, they don't really do racial comedy too well in the South. And then I would make
they've had some issues, you know, in history. So, I mean, and then, you know, and just on top of that, just like even just the fat jokes I would make, you know, I'm like 300 pounds. You know, I'm a big guy. So it's like I thought I was allowed to make fat jokes, but, you know, that became a problem, and they kicked us off the air after 4 months. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Really? That became
yeah.
a, like,
yeah.
Fat jokes became an issue? Really? Are you serious
yeah,
or are you joking?
You know, because, I mean, no, I'm serious. That was actually the last straw. It was just like, you know, my excessive fat jokes, and I think I would, you know, refer to things. That, like, we tried to be very current, you know, and there was things like, remember the last thing was like, I had just this mistake that Target made, and they called, like, the plus sizes of this gray shirt, they called it. They misprinted it and called it Manatee Gray. So I guess like fat women.
Manatee Gray. I'm sorry. That's
there
funny.
Was like
okay.
Fatter Gray up until you got to like after the larges, then it became Manatee Gray. So fat women got really upset thinking that they were calling saying they looked like manatees. I have no idea, but it was in the news and I thought it was hilarious. And, you know, it's like as a fat person, I thought I could talk openly about my people. And they didn't see it that way. So yeah, they're like, well, apparently we had a lot of fat female listeners that I was unaware of.
Wow! So there's major repercussions from that. I mean, you're being serious right
yeah.
now, right?
No, again, that was the last straw. It wasn't the only. I mean, there were several straws. Yeah, there were several straws before that. But I believe that was the last one.
Wow. And this has
yeah.
come from a guy who,
yeah.
who you know, went to school and studied ministry.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
But,
I mean,
but, you know.
Because like, we didn't do any like, sexual jokes. Like, we really didn't even do that. But I think that racial jokes are worse than sexual jokes in some areas of this country, you know, so it's like, you know, and that's like, you know, and plus as me being like a New Yorker and coming from California, like there's just some things that you come across where people just talk, you know, like, yeah, I just came across somebody at Walmart that was just like, we're having a normal conversation. And then he just turned really racist on me and asked me about, like, interracial couples. And I was like, what? Like, I just was really, it was blindsiding, you know. And I thought it was hilarious because I don't know how he thought it was appropriate to, like, talk about interracial couples with a customer. And I was like, what? You know, it was really, like, yeah, really insulting. But I'm not saying everyone's like that. I'm just saying if it happens to me and I'm a northerner, I thought it'd be funny to stuff on the air, but, you know,
everybody
thought it was funny, yeah. Yep.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Definitely not the fat women. The fat women were offended at that one, too.
Wow. All right. I'm a little blown away right now.
Yeah,
okay.
Well,
so,
careful what you say, you know?
Blown away, yeah. Brown chicken, brown cow. You've been great so far, man. Wow, gosh.
Hey, it's fucking amazing you've been able to bullshit your way into things. I mean, it's... you are definitely the right business. I mean, jeez.
Yeah. I think that's what I told my... I think I'm at the point now where I actually have legitimate credits to, like, get into the places that I need to get to. And it's like... not even half as fun as when I would just make stuff up or word things a certain way. You know, it's like once you kind of like have like enough like legitimate credits, like the fun is over. It's like, oh, you know, you actually worked enough television, you could have this job. I was like, well, this is no fun. It's like I thinking about like trying to become like a lawyer or something without a degree.
Oh no,
like, you know,
boo,
there
lawyer,
you go.
No.
No, maybe a doctor. Yeah, just like fake my way. Yeah, surgeon. That would bring a little excitement. Yeah,
I'm sure you could print something up online, you know, from the internet that'll make you look legit. Some credentials.
Yeah, maybe I could be a dietitian. Now, if I could fake my way into doing that, or a personal trainer, at the weight I'm at now, That would be incredible. And I know I still got the bullshitting. You know, like I still got it.
There you
go. You know.
Wow.
Man, that's great. You know, and well, okay. So, okay, the radio show. So it's not going on anymore, or what? What's going
on
as far as your radio
career? We had two interviews left after we got kicked off, and one was with Bill Cosby.
Speaking of Bill Cosby, I saw some of your posts regarding Bill. How'd that go?
Yeah. It went pretty bad. Like, I mean, it went good. Now, Bill, I'll tell you like this. Interviewing Bill Cosby would be like you impersonating what you think it would be to interview Bill Cosby. Like, it was like exactly, it was, if I was going to be sarcastic about, like, how long and drawn out and, you know, how, I mean, it was just like you would picture it. You know, like, it took an hour, and it was great. Like, we loved talking to him, but it was like, as if I was, like, impersonating how Bill Cosby would answer a question, but that's really how he does it, you know? So it was like, as a fan, like, I loved it, you know? And, but what happened was, it was 3 days after the verdict for the Trayvon Martin case.
Ooh,
so I talked to Nate. Yeah, I talked to Nate, who's my host, and I was like, listen, we got to ask him about Trayvon. He's a black icon. It's a racial case. Like, maybe we can get a good soundbite out of him. So he answered the question, and then we wound up, like, sending out the interview to some of the press, and it's just, like, it was so fresh, and it just come out, you know. And for some reason, like, the black community, like, hated his response. Like, he said, all he was really saying from my perspective was that he said, you can't legally prove that someone is racist in a court of law, you know, which actually makes sense. It's like, you know, it's an assumption to say this guy's racist.
Right.
Like, you know, when you profile, yeah, I mean, obviously he profiled and that's proven, but you can't say, because I asked him, I was like, what do you think? Do you think that George Zimmerman was racist? And he's like, well, you can't prove that, you know, but what happened was is that these two white guys from Virginia wound up, like, destroying his image with the black community, which was not at all what we were trying to do. It just, like, it took a weird, really weird turn, like, once it hit the media. And, like, yeah, it was, like, it was a great interview, but, like, that section turned into, like, all that the media picked up, and it just, you know, I'm sure he's shaking his head like, why did they do that to me? Like, but it was completely unintentional. Like, I didn't know it'd be received that way. And it was just, yeah. I tried texting him because he called and I was like, you know, kind of like trying to apologize. It's just, I didn't receive any response. But,
Ultimately, I got to ask you, do you still desire to eat pudding pops after your interview with Phil Cosby?
Oh, yeah. There's nothing he could have done to destroy my love for pudding. Yeah, I mean, it's just enhanced it, you know.
But, yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Oh, shoot. That's excellent.
Yeah. So we're still doing it, but it's just more of like an online YouTube thing, and we'll try to get... You know, we pretty much just do the show. We have bits, and we do stuff like where we go to the colleges and interview students, or like a Craigslist thing where we find like the weirdest, creepiest guys on Craigslist, like looking for a date, and we do that on like
Craigslist.
Yeah.
I've never like really attempted to scour the Craigslist. Wow,
yeah, you
did that Craigslist thing, huh? Craigslist is kind of
creepy. It is creepy. It's hilarious. Like, I actually didn't know about this section until we started, like, this bit, and then I was like, wow, this is weird. Like, these are guys that feel like they saw a girl, and they were shy, and in their head, in their mind at the gym, like, there was some connection as their eyes met, like, at the liquor store or whatever, like, and they would go on here and say, hey, you know, you were at ABC Liquor, you were wearing sweatpants and smoking a cigarette. And I swore you were looking at me. Yeah, I'm telling you, it's in there right. Go on Craigslist. It's in there right now. And it was just like these people—they're so delusional, you know. But I mean, it made a great for a radio bit, you know. But we don't, that was a popular one. You know, we don't do that one anymore. We just pretty much, we'll interview celebrities and, yeah, just like see whatever comes in. But we're looking for a station that kind of pick us back up. That's not so fat sensitive.
Not so fat sensitive. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So what was your co-host name again on the radio show? What was the name?
Yeah, he's my brother-in-law, Nate Fouts. He's a professional drummer, and you could see he goes by NFO Drums, NFO Drums, and he's got some videos on YouTube and he's getting picked up by some people to do like drum remixes and stuff. And
oh, sweet!
He does videos he's pretty good.
Cool. So, I mean, all right. So what, I mean, what is, what's in the future for you? I mean, what do you see? I mean, oh, okay. Wait, you know what? Okay. You're probably dreading this question, but I have to ask, okay? DMX.
Yeah.
Okay. You are obviously very affiliated with DMX. I've seen, your reports or you trying to defend DMX on CNN.com, actually.
Yeah. That's where that ministry degree comes in.
You got it. Yeah. Come on, you got to spill it. What's going on with that, with DMX?
Well, I will tell you the honest truth. I think with DMX, it is hard sometimes to be close to celebrities, and a lot of times you realize, it's like having a friend that you know that at any moment, he's pretty wild. You never really know what he's going to do next. But the problem is, if you have a friend like that and you start doing something crazy, it's like, maybe other people in that area will see him do something and they don't really care. But like with X, he'll still be that crazy, but it'll wind up on TMZ. The honest truth is it's unfortunate that he has had issues with drugs in the past, and a lot of times it's like, man, the real truth is he'll do things like the last thing he did, where he was running down the hallway, he stripped street and went down the hallway naked. It's like, I talked to his tour manager, and he's like, oh, man, we were screwing around. He's like, how do you know that happened? I was like, because it's on TMZ today. He's like, it's just him and his tour, and they're they knock on his hotel door, and he's like, in his boxers, like, what? And then they're like, what are you doing in your boxers? He's like, I don't care, and they dare him to, run down the hall naked, and then he'll do it. And then it's like, and I know as a friend, first of all, we got to, it's just like they're just playing around.
Right.
But when people see it, they're like, oh, look at the drugs. Look at the, it's like, and it's like, it's kind of hurtful. So you don't ever think of having a real emotions behind these things. I'm writing a post. Everyone's like attacking Lindsay Lohan or whoever it is, on TMZ. And it's like, wow. But when you're attached to that person, you're like, man, that's really not what happened. It's a shame that people are saying so much about drugs and stuff, where it's like everything that he does now, it's going to be, you're high, and it's
down,
it's the hard part.
As a publicist, when you see something like this, what goes through your head when you first see this on, TMZ with one of your clients? What do you think?
Well, the first thought is this is going to be a long day, is the first thought. But that day I woke up. Now, if he gets – and even that's the thing, even, the he's had a couple arrests in the last few months. And, like I said, the thing, if you break down the arrests, they're really minor. One of them, it's like, okay, so he's driving and, he's driving a passenger seat, but he doesn't have a license. They pull over the car and it's like, oh, we've been meaning to get a hold of you. You got whatever, a fine, and then he gets arrested. Or it's like, he looks like he's drunk
they left the breathalyzers at the station, so they arrest him. You know, the last one, he's living in a small town in South Carolina. Last time the officer put him in the front seat, and then he's like, oh, I get to sit in the front? You don't want me to sit in the back? He's like, no, you can sit in the shotgun. And then he turned on his dash camera and let it roll, you know. So it's like, it's like, man, you know, like, he told me, he's like, I'm not drinking. You can give me a breathalyzer. He's like, oh, it's at the station, so we'll have to go down there. And then you sit him in the shotgun, you turn on the camera, and then it's like, then you sell that video at TMZ, you know. And then they went to the station, they're like, okay, you're not drunk, you can go. So,
wow.
It's like,
oh, man.
Yeah, it's like, that is the God's, like, that is the actual truth of what happened. But you will never, like, I can hear him say that to me, you know, and it's like, but it's just, for me to convince people of that through a statement, I will try. But people are not going to believe it, because I'm not saying that he's a choir boy or he's never been legitimately arrested. That's how I'm saying. I mean, but once you are profiled, then it's like you're in a small town that has nothing else to do. They have one celebrity, and, you know, like, and they know that not only that, TMZ purchases these videos, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Also, yeah. So it's like, you know, there's a couple thousand right there, whatever it is,
wow,
you know,
yeah.
And also just that, you know, oh, hey, that's, you know, that's me at the station. I'm the one that arrested him. I'm the one that, you know, let him sit shotgun. Like, it's just like it's a game, you know. I mean, if it was in L.A. or New York, you wouldn't have to put up with this, you know. But it's like,
right.
You know, but I will tell you, your initial question was, what do you think when you wake up? Like, for the streaking video, I took my contacts out the night before, and I woke up, and I had my phone next to my bed, and I checked my email, and I had an email from Vibe magazine, and they're like, can I just get a statement from you as to why DMX is running through the hotel room naked? And I was like, so I was like, you know, I'm sitting there thinking, I don't have my contacts in yet. I can't possibly be reading this right. And then, you know, you just wake up swearing and like, oh, God, no. Like, don't even tell me, like, this is not going to be my day today, you know. And it's like, I'm trying to get my eyeballs in, and then I got to go and Google it, and there it is. And then it's like, first I got to get what the story is, you know, and it's like, what, like, oh, you know, and like I said, that's how it went down. Like, they didn't know there was a camera rolling, you know, and it's like, well, what is he doing? Like, we were just playing around. We didn't know, you know, and it's like, but it's like nothing ever sounds like the truth, you know, even when it is. So, but you got to do your job and put it out there. And, you know, people are, you know, the media is fair. They'll let you, like, refute things and, you know, tell two sides, you know, but, you know, your past history, it's just like life. You know, if you have a friend that's trying to do better or is not, like, you know, in this place he was, you know, a few years ago, you know, you might not believe him, you know. And it's like, it's the same thing, you know, being a celebrity and, you know, making adjustments to your life. But, you know, people just aren't that forgiving, you know.
Right, yeah. I get it. I totally get it. I mean, okay, so here's another question is, how did you initially get involved with DMX? I mean, how did you guys make that initial connection?
Yeah, because that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I will tell you the story, and it's funny because I had a college student that's in communications in California that did an interview with me, and he's working in like urban music or whatever, and he asked me that question for his paper. And when I was done answering it, I was like, I don't think that's a model that you could use to, like, get your own, you know, hip-hop life. And it's a very unique story. But, I mean, I'll tell you, and it actually ties in remarkably. It ties in a little bit to, you know, my faith. But I was watching VH1 Behind the Music in 2010 with DMX. Another little background in a bizarre, another bizarre coincidence is my wife will tell you when we first met, my favorite, not only my favorite rap artist, but my favorite just recording artist, I grew up like in the inner city in Buffalo, my favorite artist was DMX. And when I first met my wife, she would listen. Yeah, it just was a really crazy, like, and I got my Pandora station, I wouldn't have any other, like, rap artist other than him, you know, and my wife was like, she'd listen to other artists. I was like, no, this guy's the best, you know. And she knew I loved him, so like I was watching Behind the Music on VH1, and it was his Behind the Music special. And I was just like, oh, my gosh, I want to watch this so bad, you know. So I watched it, and as I was watching it, you know, I felt like God spoke to me and said, you know, like gave me something that he wanted me to tell him, you know, about like, because he's had a really tough life. And he's like, you know, it's been really, like there's certain things you kind of see as it, like as you're watching that video, like, wow, he never really got a good image of love from anyone around him. Like nobody around him just said, you know, here's how you care about people. And, you know, it's like, so it was just crazy. You know, I just felt like God started speaking to me. And I had only worked with athletes at the time, you know. And so I was like, okay. So I was like, I'm not sure what to do with this. I told my wife. I was like, I feel like I'm supposed to tell him this, you know. And she's like, do you know him? I was like, no. You know, so I was like, I don't know what to do with that. And I was working on this story with, I know this sounds crazy, but I was working on this story with ESPN. A guy contacted me from Outside the Lines on ESPN about one of my old sports clients. And I wound up getting him another sports client in, you know, through Facebook. I found an athlete named Isaiah Ryder, who used to play for, I think, the Phoenix Suns. And he was actually, when I contacted his wife through Facebook, he was actually in jail at the time himself. And she was friends with one of DMX's baby's mothers, you know. So I saw that picture on Facebook, and I'm working on the ESPN thing, and I was like, oh, my gosh, he's my favorite artist, you know. I was like, and so I wound up getting a connection, like, with his baby's mother, and DMX was in jail at this time in 2011, and I told her, I was like, man, I would love to work with him, you know. I was like, I know he's getting out of jail in a few months, like, and, you know, and then she's like, okay, and so, you know, through that, when he got out of jail, she, you know, I set up an interview with Vibe Magazine through her and through the jail he was in, and he wound up doing that, and that was, like, the first thing I ever did. And then I was told this whole time that he knew who I was and, you know, that we were, like, he was wanting me to work for him and all this stuff. And when he got out of jail, I got his number. They gave me his mother gave me his number and his assistant's number, and I texted him, and I was like, hey, I'm Dominic, you know, I'm the guy that set up the Vibe Magazine thing. Are you guys following this, or am I just totally all over the map?
Yeah, no, I'm following. Right.
Yeah, okay. Totally. No, you're not off the map at all. Totally. I was okay, you know, very intrigued how this whole, like, thing transpired. I mean, this whole connection.
It's a weird story, yeah, so...
It is.
So
it's a very,
them,
it's a
like,
very unique story, and I find it very intriguing, yeah. And I think a lot of other people will, too. I mean, the whole connection.
Yeah,
I think it's
kind of unique. But so I texted him and said, I'm Dominic. I'm, you know, I'm the guy that did the Vibe Magazine thing, and he didn't respond. You know, he just got out of jail earlier that day. And then the next day I called his assistant and told her who I was, and she's like, yeah, okay, I know who you are. He's getting, you know, I'm going to be with him for a little bit, and I'll put you on the phone with him. So I'm thinking, man, he's going to be so excited to talk to me because they've been telling him all the stuff, you know, all the stuff I want to do for him. And then he got on the phone, and I was like, hey, you know, and he was like, did you text me last night? And I was like, yeah. Yeah, and he's like, yeah. He's like, I got your text, and I was like, who the fuck is Dominic? And I was like, what? I was like so crushed. I was like, but I thought you knew, like, and it turns out, like, no one had told him anything about me or that I had done, like, some set up the Vibe Magazine interview, and everything everyone was telling me was a complete lie. Like, he didn't know who I was. He didn't know that I wanted to work with him, you know. So I was like, oh. So I just got, like, quiet. He's like, no, it's okay. He's like, what's up? So then I was just, like, started talking, like, 90 miles an hour, just like, oh, yes, I worked at the building, and I tried to drop all his names that didn't matter. You know, I was like, I want to help you out and stuff. And, you know, he didn't, you know, he was like, all right, well, I think he said, let's get it popping. And that was like him saying that you're hired. So I was like, okay. So I just, like, hung up the phone, and then, you know, it just, like, everything kind of, like, it was rocky. Like, no one on that team at the time really
like Rocky,
liked me or, you know.
Yeah, it was raunchy.
It just kind of happened from there. So okay, all right, man.
That was the beginning, yeah. And then I got on the phone with him like a couple days later, and I said, I can't believe I'm talking on the phone. And I told him, I was like, a year ago, God wanted me to tell you this. You know, I was like, so I have to tell you, like, what? I was like, I cannot believe I'm actually going to do this, but okay. And then it was just like this crazy, like, bizarre, like, thing. And, you know, he really received what I said well. And,
right.
You know, it's just like, because he's, you know, he raps and a lot about God and, you know, is known for, you know, seeking out God to help him through life and everything. So it was like we had that connection. And it was just, like I said, it's probably the most bizarre story I have. It's just like the fact that I felt like I was supposed to talk to him a year before I ever thought it would be even possible, you know. So,
right.
Like I said, so I told that exact story to the kid who was writing the paper, and he's like, okay, well, never mind, you know.
There is baby mom on Facebook. That's fucking great.
That is great. That's
yeah,
great.
Like, so,
sorry, I mean,
tell your class that's how it's done. Yeah. So yeah, it's just like nothing you could use. Yeah.
that's crazy.
Yeah. Yep. Couldn't have made that up.
I don't know. You,
no,
you
I don't. I don't think anybody could have made
you.
That up. I mean, D-Max, I mean. Okay. So I have to ask you. Okay, Dominic, I've got to ask you. Out of all the younger talent that you have coming up here and that you're representing here on Natty Celebrities, you know, and all that. Is there one that you feel that personally you just feel is really really has it is going to make that next step at this point? Is there any particular artist?
I don't really feel like when you say that, nothing really, no one in particular, like, they kind of all come to mind, and it's really up to them, you know, like, there's people, you know, that are dedicated to what they're doing, and dedicated also to the exposure, you know, like, more than others, and I think everybody that I have said that's been on your show, like, I can honestly say there's not one person on there that I felt like was, like, a waste of your time or that cannot make it.
Oh, right.
I think it's just really up to, I know that's not what you're asking. I'm just saying, like, I mean, it's hard to say because every day, what they do tomorrow is going to affect that. You know, it's like, what I tell people, too, is, like, no one's ever going to work harder for you than you. You know, you can hire me. And we can work together, and we'll get along, you know, get you further along. But at the end of the day, I'm never going to be capable of caring about their career more than them, you know. So it's, So I mean, I would say, you know, I mean, listening to you like kind of run through those names of people that have been on the show, I would just say like they're all really like, you know, they're hard workers, and
they are. They're all very.
I'm
not trying to disparage any of them. They're all very talented. I mean,
I know you're not.
So
I understand what you're asking. Yeah.
So impressed with all the artists, musicians that you have, you know, flung our way for our show. Absolutely. I mean, without a doubt. I mean, no questions. I was just wondering if there was one in particular that, you know, you think might actually, like, hit it, like, you know, mainstream or whatever. I'm not trying to make you like pinprick or pinpoint anybody, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's a couple in my mind that I could like say, wow, this is like this definitely he's gonna make it mainstream here soon. I mean
Yeah.
So but
I guess like understanding, you know, even like when we kind of just went over my story a lot and, you know, to think like that I had a career in television and film production. I mean, the truth is I really wasn't that good at it. You know, I wasn't that good at production. Like, so it's like, but I was just grinding. I was always, you know, doing something to use it. Everything was a stepping stone. So it's like to think that, you know, I can have a career in that, like, and the same thing with music is like, is everybody that's mainstream right now, I don't
I don't see them as, like, the best. I think it's just, I don't know who's going to catch a break, but I could say, like, I think I view their talent as, it is pretty equal, you know. I just don't know who's going to catch that break, you know.
Right.
It's a dangerous question that you're asking me, too. I definitely,
I
want to
know what you're doing for Pauly Shore. Why isn't Pauly Shore in any more films?
The Pauly Shore one's kind of like the one of the unique kind of connections. I think he had a documentary and like a a show that he put out during the election year called Politics, and we started working with him there, just kind of helping him get into like some different types of media. You know, he actually has a pretty good urban interest in him too, like and fan base, and you know, not just that, but just like when we started kind of reaching out, and
he was my favorite on MTV and Encino Man, and I was like worship that guy.
And we started doing stuff, and we were moving along, and then like the contacts I had for him, like through other people, I think they're not working with him anymore, and I kind of lost, you know, connection with him, but. I mean, I just kind of rekindled, like, with his new assistant stuff. But for, like, 6 months, it was like everybody that I was working with was gone. So, I mean, so it's not, you know, things come in and, you know, I kind of pushed along to his new assistant now. It's not quite as, you know, some of these are like, if there's nothing coming in, we don't really, you know, have a lot of communication with them. And some of them are very personal, you know, like DMX, I was at his house, you know, last week, and I'm flying to LA with them tomorrow. You know, I mean, some things are more personal, and some things are just like, hey, this came in, send it to his agent, you know, and then we'll just move on. That's, you know.
Okay.
So, flying with DMX, that's pretty badass.
Yeah, it is. It is. And so what's going on? And okay, so you're flying out to LA, what, first thing in the morning or what? What's going on with LA?
We don't do first thing in the morning. We do we do probably like last thing at night. It's more of our time frame. we're going to Hollywood tomorrow. We're all gonna meet up, and if you look on, you know, some of the blogs, he is going to be doing a taping with Dr. Phil on Monday.
Dr. Phil.
Monday. I need this to go good. So,
Okay, wait a second. Okay, all right, Dominic. You got it. Dr. Phil, what's the Dr. Phil affiliation here? Dr. Phil himself, I mean, that's intriguing. Okay.
So now, do you prep with DMX for this before Dr. Phil? Do you work with him? I mean, what do you...
Nobody really preps DMX. It doesn't really work that way. What we do is we decide, you know, they've been good. They've asked us what it is that we want to talk about. And I think for me, you know, like I said, when you're become friends and close to some of these celebrities, like sometimes you see a side of them that you don't really feel like the general public really gets to see, you know, when he was on the OWN network, you know, like things went bad and you know, he lost his temper, and there's a side that I'm like, man, I wish people could kind of see this side, you know, and for me, you know, I mean, he's got a really deep faith, and he's a really loyal person, and he's, you know, a good friend, a good person, like a fun person to be around, but I don't feel like people really get to see that. And I think with, you know, there's a way to reach everybody, you know, and I think you know, with X, you just got to let him, he's not in denial about stuff. I mean, you just got to let him, like he's extremely open and honest, you know, you just got to kind of let him do the talking, like let him, just he'll show as much emotion as he has inside him, you know, but you got to, create an atmosphere where that's, you know, comfortable and that you don't cut him off. Like the last thing he did on OWN, as soon as he started to kind of express his emotion,
she just wanted to, like, show how much psychology, you know, she understood. I don't know if you saw that interview, but it was like, you know, it just was like, geez, just let him, you know, he'll let you know how he's feeling, you know. It's like, I'm just hoping, you know, we're hoping for the best. I mean, we've done some taping already, and it's going good. And,
yeah,
you know, I just kind of, it's a risk. You know, media is, it's like I play poker every week, you know, and I feel like sometimes
no doubt,
this job is
no doubt.
Similar. You know, it's just like, you know, your chips are down, like when you see, like, these TMZ videos and stuff, and it's like,
uh-huh.
But you got to take a gamble and say, hey, we're going to, you know, go on an even bigger platform or a big platform to show, and we hope that, you know, it'll be a good experience, you know.
Right.
I mean, that's how it is when you're dealing with the media. Is like, you can't just quit. Like, if something goes bad, you know, like David Hasselhoff, like, that video comes out of him, whatever, you know, drunk, eating the cheeseburger. You can't just
quit.
How would
you like to be his publisher?
Well, you know? I bet you I can handle it. I bet you I could. After all,
about if you were Miley Cyrus's publicist right now? Holy shit.
Miley Cyrus.
Yeah.
You'd be long in the hours, brother.
Yeah, I definitely don't. I don't envy it. But yeah, it's you know, it's work, and it's a lot of, you cannot, like, sit there and I think silence is the worst thing to do. Like, you know, it's just,
wow.
You know, my job to present a side that hasn't been presented yet, you know.
Well, right.
Yeah, I agree. Silence is a killer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
that,
you know, a good example
yeah.
was, you know, a couple of years back with David Letterman, when it broke that he had, like, an affair with some woman that he worked with, you know, and he came right out and he talked about it the next night, and it died.
Yeah.
The story died.
Yep.
He didn't
yep.
just sit on it.
Yeah, that's like, that's me. That's my, you know, I mean, anybody that says differently, like, they typically regret it. People that just come out and say, like, oh, you know, let them talk or whatever. It's like, I don't, like, it's just, this is an entertainment. This is, they're never going to, like, they're always looking for stories, you know, and they are looking for you to tell your side of the story. It's not like people are disinterested in hearing, you know, like in hearing someone's side. I mean, if you come out and want to speak about it, there's plenty of people that are like, okay, well, talk about it on 2020, you know. Even if you're out of your mind, like, it's just the point of, you're, you know, people want to hear two sides of the story, regardless if it's even, you know, like, I watch 2020. I hear these people come out that are pathological liars, and it's still fascinating just to be like, and they corner them, you know. And these celebrities, it's actually the opposite. A lot of times they have legitimate reasons of why things happen, but if you don't say it, then people are just going to have to draw conclusions, because that's how tabloids work.
Right. Well, you know, I mean, that's how tabloids make their money and, you know, get publicity. I mean,
yeah.
They just kind of, like, you know, they take simple little facts and just roll with them and, you know, blow them up. But, man, gosh,
yeah.
Darn.
Wow.
I mean, everything you've, you know, just very intriguing, what you've had to share with us so far tonight, man.
I learned a lot. I learned a lot tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, yeah, wow, to hear the other side, you know, being a, you know, a publicist or whatnot and someone on the other side of all these other, you know, talented people we have talked about or represented here on the show is just, it's very, very exciting and intriguing. And you've had, like, I mean, all your experience and everything you've had so far in the, you know, in the industry as a, you know, I mean, just moving up
yeah.
from, you know, the beginning,
yeah.
I mean, from being just, you know, a producer or a production assistant or whatnot, and then moving forward, I mean, it's, wow. I mean, that's very unique and very – not many people have that experience. And it's been so darn, you know, exciting to hear you be so explicit with us and to share your experiences. I mean, it's, you know, that's not a perspective that everybody gets all the time. You know,
now,
it really is not.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I really appreciate
listening, Dominic.
yeah.
If somebody's listening, Dominic, and they want to reach out to you, if they're an artist that wants to reach out or something, should they go to your website, or do you do that? Or?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And this is actually a really good time for us, too, you know, because we're, you know, things kind of come in spurts. For some reason, I can't ever put my finger on it, you know, and things go, we get, like, too much at one time, and we'll have to, you know, turn people away, or at the moment, like, we had a lot of summer projects that just wrapped up, you know, and then what happens is, like right now, you know, we're looking, for new talent. So if they wanted to reach out, it's nattycelebs.com. It's my last name, N-A-T-I, like Cincinnati, and then just celebrities, hyphenated, celebs, nattycelebs.com. And, you know, the contact info is on there. And, you know, if they just kind of reach out, tell us, like, you know, what it is that you do and you know, a place we can either, well, we work with comedians. We've done PR for iPhone apps. I mean, it's like whatever that needs exposure, you know, authors, public speakers, you know, like we work with chefs. I mean, just if it's something where some people just are like, you know, I want to be on television in this arena particularly. And, you know, it's not going to be overnight, but it's just definitely there's things to say, okay, well, first of all, we have to package you as, mm-hmm. you know, if branding is important. So it's like, it's nothing's really out of the question. It's just getting the tools ready to, you know, to get to that next level. And that's really what, like, we work with, you know, NFL players that just retired,
oh,
and they're like,
yeah.
Oh, I want my own.
Yeah. Okay.
You know,
oh, I mean, all right, Nat. All right, Natty. All right. Here we go. Dominic Natty. NFL.
You're speaking Brian's language now. He's
yes.
He's a football fan.
I am a huge football fan. And I do understand.
He's a football guy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. I do understand you're representing. Are you representing New York Giants?
Oh,
New York Giants.
Yeah, we did. We did something with some of those are like clients and some are relationships. Like we've done some PR we're affiliated with like Chris Canty, who's now with the Ravens, and was just with the Giants, and you know we. Like he was doing, like a lot of the times with these football players, there's not a ton to do on the field. It's more like, you know, if they have charities and stuff, and we've helped him with exposure, like with his, he does a big football camp, you know, in the off season where he gets other players involved. And that's really like, you know, that's the biggest area that we can help with football players, unless it's like I was about to say that, they are newly retired. You know, when you're 30-something years, you know, 34 years old or whatever, and they say your career's over, it's like, well, you know, how could, like, you could pretty much have the money and, you know, the fame to get into whatever you're interested in, or, you know, at least get a better foot in the door than anybody else. So, you know, we'll just, like, that's where the branding kind of comes in, where it's like, okay, well, you know, these guys are tough because they've never been asked these questions. I know working with some of the guys at the Carolina Panthers, I'm like, well, what color scheme do you like? And when you're asking a defensive tackle what color scheme they like, they're like, you know, mostly you're going to hear is, I don't know. So I'm like, okay, how about neon? They're like, no, of course not. You know, I'm like, okay. It's like you start saying the wrong things until you realize that they – yeah, you got to pull that stuff out of people, you know. And we've kind of, you know, that's like, it's kind of just like, yeah, that's something that we're going to just like finding those starting points and saying, okay, you know, let me get the branding down and start to, you know, like to figure out what direction we're going to go in and stuff like that.
Well, sweet. Okay, Dominic, I have to ask you, what's your number one favorite sport?
I actually like hockey, which is
hockey?
Really irrelevant to PR. Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yes.
Upstate New York, you understand. Yeah, I mean, I grew up watching hockey. I'm a Sabres fan. Like, I just, you know, but a lot of the things have not really helped me. I mean, I've never had an NHL client, you know, it's not even close, you know. It's like, because they're just hockey players. I love them, but they're so terrible in interviews. Like, they're so not marketable usually. I mean, it's like, you know, they're like, you know, foreign with no teeth and probably less personality. You know,
Is it the no teeth and mullet thing that just kind of makes him like a lousy interview or what?
I don't know. It's like, I mean, if you're a hockey fan and you're like, after the game, they start asking him, it's just like, you know, especially if you work with in communication, you're just like, this is going to be a terrible. It's just,
I'm a New York Rangers fan, so Tortorella is a nightmare.
Yeah. Okay, there's one.
Tortorella was a nightmare for the media. Game after game after game.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, you know, I mean, it's just like, I mean, you could just answer the questions. The reporter can just answer these questions themselves. Like, well, you know, I mean, they're a good team, and, you know, we tried, you know, the point is just putting the puck in the net. It's just like, yeah, that's just fascinating.
Well,
like,
yeah, well, Tortorella's famous line was, well, we're not going to talk about that. You know,
he would just dodge every question and be like, anything else? Like, well, probably you haven't answered anything.
It's like watching, a political debate every time, man. Dodge.
Yeah. But you always ask at the end, anything else? No? Okay, well, I'm like, well, of course there's nothing else. You haven't answered anything thus far. Like, well, the answers are out of unanswered questions. Yeah. He's great. Yeah.
Oh, shoot. Wow. All right. Well, gosh. Dominic, I apologize. I mean, if we kept you on too long, man, but wow. All I have to say is I'm astounded and I am, you know, humbled that you agreed to be, you know, the featured guest here tonight, and you've been nothing but explicit with us, and I know you have to take off in the morning or whatever. You're going to L.A., right? Right? I mean, thank you so much. And you know what? Thank you so much for keeping us, you know, with all these, you know, you keep supplying all these, like, fun and entertaining, right, you know, artists, you know, rappers and musicians and stuff, and I hope to keep the whole dynamic going and all that, and more than anything, it was really, really fun and exciting for me personally, and I think for my co-hosts as well, to hear, you know, your perspective on things from your point of view, because, you know, not many people know what it's like on the other side, you know, being a publicist and all that. Really fun and exciting, and I appreciate it so much, man. I really do. And you've been nothing but a champ here tonight. And you know what? We might have to have you on again sometime. And let us know. Let us know when, you know, your next radio show is going to be on or something like that. I mean, that's just, it's fun stuff. Dominic, thank you so much. You have any last words for us? Dominic, any words of wisdom or any like, last little nugget of wisdom? Dominic?
Did we lose him?
I think we did.
Dominic, you there? Hello.
Well, I guess shows what he thinks of us.
No, I think he might have got it. Dominic, you there?
I am.
I think you might have got cut off there. Dominic,
Okay.
You there,
yeah.
Buddy?
I am here.
Yeah. Yep, that kind of shit happens. Well, hey, Dominic, I was just saying, like, I really appreciate, you know, you being on the show and giving us that unique perspective from the other side, you know, being a promoter and all that, and everything else. And it was really fun, and I think it was a really unique experience for a lot of people listening. And, you know, we definitely have to have you on again. And, you know, good luck with, you know, with everything else, you know, you have going on. And I hope to represent a lot more. We all hope to represent some more of your, you know, artists and stuff, you know, musicians here in the future. And any last words or anything, man? Any last, you know, words of wisdom or little nugget wisdoms, you know, thingies for people? I mean, just,
I would say, I don't have any nuggets, but I mean, if you want to, like I said, we're definitely always open to, to seeing what people have and working with people and at any level, you know, whether it's someone that, you know, is rekindling a career or at the height of their career or just wants to get started. So, yeah, I really do. I enjoy this every step of the way. So, just reach out to us and let us know how we can help, and, you know, we're always open to it.
Yeah, and like I said, so many talented, young, talented, you know, I say kids because I'm old, but, you know, musicians and stuff that you have sent our way and everything, and really appreciate it. I mean, it's always a good show. They're always so – they're so smart and for their age and so articulate, and just it blows my mind. And, you know what I mean? And it just amazes me that you can – you've made this connection, and you're representing these kids, and it feels like a privilege to have them on our show, and we always will, and all that. And thanks, and good luck with all your future endeavors and everything, man. And definitely got to have you on again at some point.
Yeah.
And you're too much fun. I mean, just too much fun. Oh, wait a second. We're not going to let him go away without the Gusinski, you know what I'm talking about? Co-host? We're not going to let him go away without doing the, oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
We have some final
questions
for you, if you don't mind.
Oh, sure.
Oh, sure.
The infamous questions.
Yeah, these are... These are special interview questions we do with many of the special guests we have on, okay? It's just a basic requirement, okay? These are special interview questions we give to everybody. Okay,
yeah.
All right, here
just
we go.
Just me really loved him. Okay.
All right, here we go. All right. Question number one. Do you make eye contact when you make love?
No.
Wow.
No.
Okay. How can you explain that to your wife? Why not? Why not? I mean, what?
I don't know. I've been married for 10 years, and it's like there's a point where it's like, almost like, what are you looking at? Like, it's not what it used to be, you know, and it's almost like distracting, you know. So
Are you serious?
You know,
eye contact distracting,
yeah.
After 10 years.
It's distracting, yeah. I mean, I mean, she's already getting put through enough. She doesn't need to look at her face.
That's great. That's probably one of the best answers I've ever heard, I think. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, the next question, I don't know if it really applies to you or not, because you seem to be very well established as Dominic Natty, but I don't know. Do you think it's ethical to like your own posts on Facebook? And do you do it? If not, do you know somebody who does? You know, there's always some asshole who, like, posts something, like,
yeah,
you know, 2 or 3 seconds later, he likes his own post. He or she does.
Out of all the questions you've asked me tonight, for some reason this is like the most exciting for me because I've never expressed it. I've never expressed like how bizarre I think that is, but it's like when I sometimes people will post something on my Facebook timeline, like, and a lot of times it's like their own, you know, because like, I'll accept, like, you know, friend requests. I mean, if I don't know, I'm like, oh, whatever, you know. But, I mean, it's like sometimes people will post their own music videos or whatever, and then they'll like it right away. And I'm like, oh, someone already liked it. I was like, oh, it was them. Like, I know you like it enough to post it on my timeline. Like, I just, that was kind of assumed, the fact that you, I mean, or if it's like a joke, you know. I'll be the one to post it and then, like, check it every 5 seconds, but I'd like you to believe that I'm not, you know. Because, like, if I, yeah. You know, it's like, yeah. I'm definitely big on the Facebook persona, even though I'm wondering how it's going, you know, especially if it's controversial. I'm like, oh, this isn't going well. I'll just act like I don't care, you know. So, yeah.
So you think it's
unethical. Yes, I would say
unethical and just maybe a little creepy.
Yeah, it's like I know you like it because I saw you put it on the timeline. I assume. That. Yeah,
that's great. Okay, so here's another question, and you know I don't know if this really applies to you so much, but it applies to a lot of artists. I think, and a lot of poets, and even some musicians and stuff that we host on the show and all that. But would you ever consider activating a middle initial to enhance your career? I mean, there's some poets like or writers who like they throw in a middle initial, you know.
Yeah.
And they think like all of a sudden it somehow makes them seem like cooler.
Yeah. I understand. I think in the literary world, I understand that it's official. You know, I think that middle initials should only be used if your first and last name are really boring and common. Other than that,
I think that's one of the best answers I've ever heard regarding the middle initial thing. That is great. All right, okay, all right, okay. Brace yourself, okay? Because this is going to be, this is going to be clincher for you here, buddy.
Okay.
All right? You've been such a good sport. You know, I've had so much fun with you here tonight. But, we're getting down to brass tacks here. Okay, all right. All right, here we go. Are you ready? Dominic, you ready?
I believe I am.
Okay. Yeah, you're more than ready. You are a sport. This has been a great show. All right. Okay, here's the thing. I honestly think threesomes reveal a lot about who we are, okay? Threesomes, really. You know threesomes. And, were involved in a threesome, would you consider yourself to be the queen bee or a worker bee?
Well, I'll answer you, and I'll even tie in some of the earlier interview. If I'm too lazy to work in television, I'm definitely too lazy for a threesome. So
okay, excellent, excellent.
Yeah.
That's great. Another good answer. You have had some of the best answers for all these like special exclusive.
Yeah. Well, I get a lot thrown at me during my work day, as you can imagine, you know. So, yeah. I'm ready.
Oh, all right. We're down to like 6 minutes left in the show actually. Wow. Dominic, you have been great. This has been beyond fun, man. Wow. And I appreciate everything you have done as far as sending us, you know, people to interview and everything. And I look forward to more of it in the future. And you've been a great sport. And, man, you've really, like, laid it out here for us tonight. And I have to say, I really, truly appreciate it. I really do. It's been a great show. And, you know, I wish you the best of luck in the future with all of your, you know, endeavors and all that. And I think we have a lot in common as far as, you know, film and representing and
yeah.
music and all this and that and radio and everything. And, yeah, so definitely keep in contact. And thank you so much again, man. Thank you so much for being on the show. I appreciate it. And, yeah, so you're taking off to in the morning?
Yeah, well, afternoon. We don't do morning.
Oh, afternoon.
Yeah,
okay.
He doesn't do
yeah.
morning. Remember, Brad. He doesn't do morning.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. I am too intoxicated to remember. No.
we don't do mornings. But plus, I'm gaining 3 hours. So, yeah, we'll be off there. And, yeah, if it goes well, yeah, we'll talk. We'll do the interview again after the Dr. Phil thing, and I'll tell you where yeah, everything went.
That would be great, yes. Dr.
If it,
Phil,
went, if
yeah.
it goes great, I'll tell you what a genius I am, and if it goes bad, I'll say, oh, it's not my fault.
Yeah. I already think you're a genius, man. Otherwise, I wouldn't
yeah.
have asked you to be on the show. I only
yeah.
interview, all of us, we only interview people who we think are creative geniuses in one, you know, aspect or another, be it art, music, poetry, or whatever, and yeah, you're definitely, you know, film. You're right there. You're right there, buddy. And you have been a great sport, and I've had so much fun with you. And I think all of my co-hosts as you know have as well. I mean, just wow. Thank you so much.
I had fun too. I really did. Yeah. Let me
yeah.
plug the website in case, you know, because I forgot to do that earlier. It's nattycelebs.com. It's NATICELEBS.com. So, yeah, anyone that's listening that's you know, interested, like I said, I love the submissions and the checking things out. So, I'm
yeah.
looking forward to,
Sweet.
You know, see what comes
yeah.
up with it.
I actually have recently seen some kid from the Cincinnati, Ohio area who's a rapper who might fit your thing, and I'll talk to you about that later, like behind the scenes or whatever. Honestly,
okay.
So yeah. Yeah, thank you so
awesome.
Much, man. Thank you again. This has been fun, and you
right.
you have rocked it. Love it, man.
Yeah.
Take it easy. All right. Good night.
I appreciate it. Talk to you too.
Thank you.
Have a good night.
Thanks, Alan.
Bye-bye. Alrighty, we're going to do a little bit of Puff the Magic Dragon, and we'll be right back. Actually, oh my gosh. Anyone who's still on, remain on. Because we can go into the, you know, the after party here. Okay? Just listen to Puff the Magic Dragon and stay on if you want to talk a little more. So, you know. All right. Good night.
Puff the magic dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. Little Jackie Paper loved that rascal Puff and brought him strings and sealing wax and other fancy stuff. Oh, Puff the Magic Dragon lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Honolulu. In a land called Honolulu. Together they make way for other toys. One gray night it happened, Jackie Paper came no more. And Puff, that mighty dragon, he ceased his fearless roar. His head was bent in sorrow, green scales fell like rain.
Puff the Magic Dragon. Yes, we've had, wow. What an interesting perspective we had for tonight's show. I mean, wow. Gosh, hearing that whole other aspect as far as, you know, an agent or, you know, a publicist and everything. I mean, wow. You don't hear that too often, especially not on Blog Talk Radio. But, wow, Mr. Gacinski.
Yes.
Let's, wow. Friday, it's Friday. Well, I guess technically it's Saturday the 14th in some area codes. But as far as Friday the 13th, man, I know you've been pretty fanatical about getting this whole Friday the 13th Blu-ray set, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, it's one of those things I just had to have. So I actually went and I traded a bunch of shit in so I could get money to actually buy it. A bunch of shit I didn't listen to anymore. Well, I had like a really rare box set by a Swedish death metal band that I like, but it has VHS tapes in it and shit. And the fuckers actually took it up at the music store. They're like, oh, yeah, man. Fucking, this is rare. I can't watch it. I don't do VHS, so you know, I wound up getting most of the money that way. So, and then I actually was at fucking Best Buy waiting for them to open this morning.
Oh my god! Oh, so you're one of those nerdy types that, you know, camp out in front of a store just to get some special deal.
I don't know that I camped out, but, I was up, so I drove the 17 miles to the Best Buy, and see, I live in the sticks, you know, so not a lot of places are going to have it, you know, so I had to make it happen. I got the last fucking copy, because what these fuckers were doing is they were calling and pre-ordering it over the phone and paying for it. So they were putting it behind the desk. So there were a bunch of them behind the desk already paid for it. You know, I was the schlub who showed up this morning in the rain waiting for them to open.
In the rain, huh? Wow.
In the rain. I was dedicated to get that motherfucker.
So you smelled like a wet dog. Just
Yes.
Slopping in there, getting your Friday the 13th Blu-ray.
Like a sloppy wet dog.
Oh, a sloppy wet dog. Yeah, you definitely are. I mean, no doubt about it.
Well, you know, Blu-rays are almost the same price as DVDs now. So, you know, I mean,
really?
Why would I buy?
You know what? Blu-ray's probably going to become, like, extinct. Or not extinct, but I mean, you know, kind of just the next, you know, blah, 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 superficial piece of crap. So that's probably why you got it on a good deal, because who knows what the hell they're coming up with next.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I was at the store the other day, and, you know, the Blu-ray of the new Star Trek, they had a big display of Star Trek movies, you know. The new Star Trek movie Blu-ray was $15. The DVD was $13. So $2 more, you get a Blu-ray. So why would you buy a DVD? You know, I mean, it's,
True. So okay, here's my thing. I've heard people talking and bragging about the Blu-ray, okay? And, you know, it's like I've got, like, probably 10 billion DVDs. It's like if I want to, like, invest in a Blu-ray, I mean, will my DVDs work on a, you know,
yes,
if I buy Blu-ray?
A Blu-ray player will play DVDs. It up-converts them.
So
you get a better picture quality out of your DVDs. And,
uh-huh.
You know, honestly, I wouldn't suggest when we first got one, you know, I had these bold plans. I thought, oh, shit, man, I'm going to replace all my DVDs with Blu-rays and they'll look fucking amazing. But it's not, for most of what you have, it's probably not worth it to spend
right.
all that money to replace them. They look
right.
fucking great, so why... You know, but I don't. Some of the things like the Aliens films look fucking
Ooh.
Amazing on Blu-ray. They're so much brighter. They're real dark on DVD. So.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, that's the thing about the Aliens films. I mean, they are dark. I mean, just the lighting and
yeah.
everything. And that's I think part of the whole you know. Thing, and it's you know what I've seen at least two Aliens films. At the drive-in, you go to a drive-in, and it's already kind of the lighting and everything, and the projection
exactly.
is not, yeah, high quality. So, wow, yeah, but Blu-ray, so it's really that much more like unique, and I mean, I don't know, I don't get. I mean, I'm not a techie guy. I'm not. The last thing about me is tech, you know, tech, and Brian W.VJ. Just yeah, no, don't mesh. So,
yeah,
so
well,
Blu-ray
yeah.
seriously is that much. I mean, you can see a difference. I mean, absolutely.
Well, yeah. You can see a difference on a lot of flicks. Like Jurassic
uh-huh.
Park is a huge one. Jurassic Park and
Jurassic
DVD.
Park.
Jurassic
really,
Park
you have Jurassic
DVD.
Park on Blu-ray? Huh?
I don't own it.
Oh,
but
you
I can
don't.
Get it from the library. I can get it from the library. See, we're going through. I'm going through, and you know, my girlfriend, you know, Alethea, her
mm-hmm.
kid. I show up here, you know, 2 years ago. Her kid doesn't know who Clint Eastwood is. Her kid has never heard of Indiana fucking Jones. Her kid has never seen Star Wars. Her kid isn't. So her kid is seeing Dora the Explorer and Adventure Time. That's fucking it. So. I've been on this mission to show her these culturally relevant films, and
uh-huh.
Jurassic Park is one of them. You know, I mean, it's culturally relevant, I guess. So, but you know, James Bond. She didn't know who James Bond was. I mean,
James Bond. Oh, okay. Wow.
Yeah.
How could any kid not? Yeah. Okay. Wow. Okay.
I don't
I'm not
know.
Go there.
I don't know.
James Bond.
Dane Bramage.
Well, you know, that just, yeah. Well, you know what? You need to initiate her into the James Bond phenomenon.
I'm trying to expose her to all kinds of things. Camping.
Right.
We went on this monstrous camping trip. And
right.
So
who's your personal favorite as far as, the James Bond
Oh, man. Without question, Sean Connery. How about
Sean
you?
Sean Connery, huh? Sean Connery, yes.
Sean Connery.
And why is that? You like his hair?
It's kind of a hard question because Sean Connery was great, but Roger Moore had the best one-liners and the coolest gizmos. So,
Roger Moore,
you know,
personally, yeah, I grew up with Roger Moore. Roger Moore, was it The Spy Who Loved Me, Octopussy.
And Octopussy, he had a plane that came out of a horse's ass. Remember that? That was awesome. Come on. Horse's ass lifts up and a fucking jet comes out of it. Doesn't get better than
Roger
that.
Moore was my, he's my personal favorite just because when I was at that specific age, you know, when you appreciate you know, this all the spy technology and all this stuff and blah, 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 and the whole, like, plot, you know, the plot of, you know, a show like, or a series like, you know, James Bond, 007.
Yes.
He was the one. Octopussy, Spy Who Loved Me, Moonraker, Moonraker.
Yes, Moonraker is one of my favorites, man.
Yeah, Moonraker. Oh, my God.
I honestly, personally, you know, I've been watching a lot of James Bond recently, and I think this new guy, Daniel Craig, is a very weak James Bond, personally.
Really, Daniel Craig? Okay.
I put him down there with Timothy Dalton, in my opinion.
Oh, Timothy Dalton, yeah.
I would have to go with...
I don't like either.
I would have to go with... I liked Brosnan, but...
Oh, you do?
You know,
okay.
Yeah. I can watch Brosnan. Fucker. No, but I would put him down there. I don't know. Have you ever read the books?
Oh, the books by Ian Fleming? Ian. I don't read any books by anyone named Ian, be it male or female.
Yeah, well...
No, I have, and they're pretty,
they're pretty dry.
Yes, absolutely.
The only one who nailed it, like the novels, is Lazenby, the guy who did one James Bond, George Lazenby. I mean, he's just like the books. So, you know, I put him probably third, my third favorite, just because he stayed true to the novels. I'm sorry, Daniel Craig. I mean, he's just not very Bondish, you know? Bondish, maybe, you know, for the right person, but I don't know about Bondish, though. So.
Bondish. You make it sound like, you know, some sort of, like, paste or something.
Yes, it's a paste.
It's paste.
A fucking paste.
Fucking pasty.
So I got a question. You have a new Zygote coming out soon, right? When are we going live
Jesus,
with new Zygote?
Jesus H. Christ. Okay. Yeah, Friday the 13th. Ding, 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 ding. It's supposed to be up. Yeah, you know what? Yeah. Zygote never comes out on time.
I'm not passing judgment. You're a busy guy.
Oh, many people have. Many people have in the past.
You've got a house to run, you know. You got to put on your apron and your... You know.
I don't wear an apron, motherfucker. Yeah, it's in the works, and, you know, Zygote one, number 143 will be out here at least by Monday. I'm pretty certain of it. The program and everything that I use and everything, it's just a little bit of a, it's a little glitchy at times, but it will be out. It's a pretty solid issue as far as, yeah, it really is. A lot of good stuff, a lot of good writers, poets. We got poetry, prose. Listen to me. Pose. Oh, no, I'm not intoxicated. No, fuck me.
Getting your snobbery. Snobbery. So, you got that going on. That's good. It'll be out this weekend. It'll be out sometime this weekend. That's all I need to know.
But yeah, you know what? Well, you know what? Listen here, fucker.
Yeah,
motherfucker.
What's that, motherfucker?
You know, as far as I know, we might be able to do a show tomorrow night. Just a spontaneous, fun Zygote show.
To go live?
Huh? Live? Yeah. What time should we do that? Would you be up for something like that? Just a fun, spontaneous show. We would have some of the poets on, and writers. Are you available?
Well,
are you going to be too busy camping? Are you going to be too busy camping?
No. That shit's over. That shit is over for a while. You'll see. Did you read my column? My column is about camping, so, you know.
Yeah, you and your fucking camping with your special hot girlfriend.
We'll see next year. Next year there won't be any camping trips because my special girlfriend is going to see her mother next summer, so I won't have to. I'm off the hook. I'm not going. I'm going to pull a CJ.
So tomorrow night, should we do a spontaneous, just zygote in my coffee? You know, if you're up for it, we shall do it, and we will try to exploit many of the people, including yourself and myself, who will be in the issue. Should we do it?
We should.
I'm home alone this weekend.
Ooh.
The family's gone.
You.
So the poultry grenades are flowing and exploding.
Poultry grenades. A tub of Crisco and the Miley Cyrus video. I got it.
Oh, God. Miley Cyrus. Jesus Christ. I'm sorry. But, yeah. Hotness. Like, squared. Or, you know, cubed. Or whatever. I don't know.
Well,
squared, cubed.
I think the problem is the Hannah Montana. That's why everybody's freaking out, because she did the Hannah Montana shit.
Yeah,
so,
I think that too.
So everybody expects
her
to be that
forward.
Forever.
Yeah, exactly. The chick, she's moving forward. I mean, you know what? And you know, here's the unique thing about her. She's not doing some sort of freak out thing like, Britney Spears did, shaving her head and like getting like exposed by the media, the paparazzi.
Right.
You know. No, she's not doing that. She's, she's kind of like, I don't know. She's okay.
Well,
here. I hate to compare Miley Cyrus to Madonna, you know? I really do. But Madonna did, you know, Madonna's a very talented musician and always has been. But, yeah, you know what I mean? It's like Madonna did some of the same things, you know, in a way. And it's unfair, I think, to compare the two. But if you put, you know, Miley Cyrus in comparison to Britney Spears or one of these other, you know, Jessica Simpson, I think Miley is just kind of moving forward and doing her own thing and all that, you know, and has created her own persona. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I'd agree with that. You know what I mean? If you listen to the words of the song, the video, it makes sense.
Uh-huh.
She's nude in the video and all that, and crying. It's like a vulnerability thing. It's like she's vulnerable. And she's no,
right.
It makes sense. It does. So I don't.
Well, right,
really
and you know, people are way too quick to criticize and jump on the bandwagon and like, oh, I'm a Christian. I ain't going to watch this shit. She's just being some sort of, like, you know,
well,
like, here, because she's not Miley Cyrus, ain't no more, you know? So.
Yeah, well, I think from all angles, you know, people are coming at it, so.
Yeah, nevertheless, the video and the song itself is really, really good. And, you know, the video. I'm going to be honest, hot. Totally fucking hot. And you know what? The chick's haircut alone, hot. Yeah, I have a similar haircut, so.
Yeah, you guys could be twins, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. Oh yeah, Wonder Twins. Wonder Twin powers, activate. Bling! Ah, shit, man. All right.
So you're home alone all weekend, he said.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But your wife take the kids and go to, like, some family shindig?
Oh, yeah,
shindig,
yeah,
like,
yeah. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it's just you.
Yeah, so you're up. You're up for a show tomorrow night?
Oh, yeah.
Spontaneous show?
Yeah, yeah. Just set it. Be sure to set it for 2 hours, though, just in case. Yeah, I think we did a spontaneous show one time, and it You almost said it for an hour, and everybody started calling in right at the last, at the end of the hour. Everybody was like, hey, I want to eat something. And we're like, fuck you, you got to go.
All right. Well, all right, man. Yeah, that sounds like fun. And you know what? I'll be in contact. And, yeah, let's wrap this shit up, man,
sure.
For the night. And this has been fun. It's been a great show. And, you know.
Dude, that guy was awesome.
Dominic
Natty. I learned a lot.
Well, yeah, I think we all did. I mean, yeah, absolutely. Without a doubt.
I learned a lot. I didn't realize, you know, I didn't realize what publicists do, you know. So.
Right, yeah. And I don't think either of us really did. I mean, geez. He was great, and he carried the show. He just had so much to say, and just like last week's show.
It's always nice to have guests like that, you know?
It is. It makes the show easy, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Well,
when they're that interesting,
it does. Yeah.
Yep. Absolutely. And yeah, right. it's a blessing actually. So you're up for a fun spontaneous show tomorrow night?
I am. If it's you know, set it up tomorrow or whatever, and let me know. I will be there.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll be in contact.
I'll be riding shotgun again.
All right. Well, you know, let's wrap this up, and you know, let's finish this off with a little. How about a little bit of a toilet flush? Because...
There you go.
Thanks, man. Here we go. Toilet flush.